Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan All-Stars, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist show in the country. Now, here's your All-Star host.
What a nice opening and introduction and an honor in memoriam to Alan Nathan. I'm Karen Cataline, one of your Alan Nathan All-Stars. And in memoriam, let's remind you of Alan Nathan's motto. Circa 1998, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. Also, you can access all the podcasts at of the Alan Nathan Show and the Alan Nathan All-Stars by going to MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. That's MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. And we're going to open right now. We do have our first guest. Yes, Mr. Producer? Wonderful. Sometimes we don't always know that for sure. It's my fault. And always a pleasure to welcome this guest, Dr. Carol Lieberman, an MD, a master in public health. She's also known as the Terrorist Therapist and hosts both the Terrorist Therapist Show and Dr. Carol's Couch on voiceamerica.com. She's also a board-certified Beverly Hills psychiatrist and a three-time Emmy-honored TV news talk commentator. Dr. Carol Lieberman, good to have you on the program once again.
Thank you. And my condolences. I was shocked and devastated to hear that Alan Nathan died.
Yes, yes. And such a unexpectedly as well. It took all of us by surprise. We do this show in his memory and we press on. I guess you as a psychiatrist and therapist, you know how important and even therapeutic that can be, right?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, sometimes when people die who are so, you have trouble, they have such a strong presence that you have trouble to believing that they are actually dead. And that certainly Alan Nathan was one. He was, you know, just so passionate.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
And a great facility with the English language. One of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, That's kind of why you're a mental health professional and whatever, because you help people to adjust. Another thing you help people to adjust and clarify are this Afghan killer who was welcomed into this country and then rewarded America by going after some of its greatest heroes. What a horror that was. I'd love for you to update us because I've heard two different things. We heard that he was radicalized in the United States. We've also heard that he was flown in into New York into a hotel. Are both true or is one of them incorrect? Please update us. Let us know what you know.
Well, and then there's a third possibility, or not possibility, but a third aspect to the story as well, which is that some of his neighbors and friends are saying that he's mentally ill. So why don't we take it one at a time?
Okay.
It is absolutely true that he was flown into America while Biden was embarrassingly and horrifically surrendering in Afghanistan. And, you know, it was such chaos that there is no way that any of the Afghans could have been vetted properly to come into America. And there were, you know, some reports say 70,000, some say 80,000. You know, 70,000 is bad enough of these Afghans who were flown in. And, the excuse at the time that Biden gave was that they were friends with America in Afghanistan, that they helped America in some way or another. And but first of all, not only, you know, you can take a person out of a country, but you can't take the country out of the person. necessarily. So, you know, certainly he had enough radicalization going on before he left Afghanistan. But now, of course, it is possible that while he was in America, I mean, there is, you know, people, this doesn't really get talked about enough, but there is radicalization going on, primarily over the internet. There are magazines put out by different terrorist groups and just different websites, different social media platforms, everything, where they are recruiting all the time. So it is possible that he also got recruited, you know, I mean, recruited, also was influenced.
Yes. I just got to go back just a little bit because, you know, maybe you could psychoanalyze some of the conservative pundits who pull their punches because they're afraid of getting attacked. They're going to get attacked anyway. But is it not true that the true friends of the Afghanis who helped the Americans were actually kept out, and that the people who posed the greatest threat, number one, they couldn't vet them anyway. There was no way to vet them anyway. But those that they knew who had helped the Americans were kept out, whereas the most likely terrorists were welcomed in. It cannot be denied. Otherwise, we'd be in a heap of denial, right? That this was deliberate. And those who were in charge of the Otto Penn administration, which it truly wasn't Joe Biden, were doing so deliberately and maliciously, importing terrorists into this country to create chaos and danger for American citizens. Where am I wrong? Am I going too far?
I don't think you're wrong. I certainly think that was a part of it. I certainly think that Obama was, you know, being the puppeteer of Biden all along. And Obama was the biggest danger, you know, the biggest friend, BFF to terrorists, you know, in all kinds of ways, as any president that we've ever had. And so, and, you know, I just was reading something this morning about how it's believed that maybe Michelle Obama used the Otto Penn in some instances. I don't know specifically in regard to Afghanistan, but Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, either one means, you know, not good for America. So, and then there's the interesting thing, too, this third little part, well, that's a little, but there are, in Washington State, where he lived, there were friends and neighbors who recognized that he had mental illness, and that stopped him from filling his role as a husband, as a father, and even lost him his job. Now, that is possible. I don't know if that's true. I mean, it may well be true that these people contacted supposedly a refugee organization. They're very vague about all of that. But even if that's true, and they didn't help him, like they were trying to get help for him, and nobody helped him. But even if that is true, that does not excuse his coming to Washington, D.C. and trying to kill National Guardsmen. Because if he were just crazy, they're saying manic depressive. I don't know that any of them were psychiatrists to diagnosis, but they're saying manic depressive. But if that could be true, but if it's true, or any mental illness could be true, but if it were true, he would just as easily have stayed in Washington State and plowed his car into some people on the street or killed somebody else with guns. But he would not have come all the way to Washington, D.C. unless it was to make a point, a terrorist attack.
And they further, and what you're saying, whether it's true or not, and the left always does that when it's a Muslim terrorist, they always say they're mentally ill, whereas they want to ascribe a political agenda or a political ideology to anybody if it happens where they think it might be a conservative. That being said, doesn't it further indict the people who brought him into this country unvetted?
Because
you don't want mentally ill, violent people into your country,
whether they're
politically motivated or not. It lays it right at the feet of these Democrats who still, I mean, Yeah, I should ask you again. We're running out of time. I'm sorry. We always do.
Well,
you know.
Wait. Let me.
Yes.
Let me
go ahead. Go ahead.
One thing. This is important. Even if he were mentally ill, that being a terrorist and being mentally ill are not mutually exclusive. That's
exactly
a key factor that people need to understand. There are lots of terrorists who are mentally ill, but they're still terrorists, jihadists.
And they use that as an excuse to obfuscate the fact that he was a terrorist.
Right.
Dr. Carol Lieberman, always a pleasure. The terrorist therapist, Dr. Carol's Couch. You can find her on voiceamerica.com. Looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Sure. Thank you.
Well, and Happy New Year if I don't talk to you. We will be right back on Alla Nathan's All-Stars right after this. Don't go away.
Next year marks America's 250th birthday. And what better way to celebrate than an elevated train journey through the American Southwest? Canyon Spirit offers the adventure of a lifetime with scenic train journeys through rugged canyons and desert landscapes, along with gourmet dining and world-class service. Expansive panoramic windows allow guests to watch the magnificent scenery best seen by rail, including river canyons, red rocks, and more. Canyon Spirit travels between Salt Lake City and Denver with overnight stays in Moab, Utah, and Glenwood Springs, Colorado. And the train only travels during the day, allowing guests to enjoy the journey and relax overnight in charming small towns. TV host and travel expert Kelly Rizzo.
I think there's a certain romance to boarding a train, especially through the iconic vistas of the Southwest. Canyon Spirit offers a front row seat to these breathtaking wonders, along with historic storytelling and regionally inspired gourmet dining. It's truly a wondrous experience.
To learn more, visit canyonspirit.com.
Butterball, the best known and most loved brand of turkey in the U.S., has partnered with renowned ChefCorp brand Headley and Bennett to create the first ever Thanksgiving hosting pans. Butterball turkey talk line expert Corey Gustavik shares more.
Roasting whole turkey isn't something most of us do every day. It can be intimidating and stressful, but the right clothes can make you feel more confident and comfortable in the kitchen. That's why Butterball created the first of their kind Thanksgiving hosting pants. Designed with a fun turkey print in Butterball blue, these pants are sure to give you swagger in the kitchen while keeping all your cooking essentials within arm's reach. With custom pockets for your meat thermometer and phone, loops for your utensils and towels, and a bottle opener to keep the party hydrated, these pants will help you get a leg up in your hosting duties this year. Butterball is giving away for free one final time while supplies last at noon Eastern this Monday, November 17th.
Learn more and claim your pair of hosting pants at ThanksgivingHostingPants.com.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve! It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned, accessible homes and vehicles, and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
back to Alan's All-Stars. I'm Karen Cataline, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be with you this day. I am pleased to welcome our next guest, award-winning journalist, media strategist, former CNBC and Fox Business anchor, and the host of the What's Bugging Me podcast, hosted by the Ricochet Network. He's author of The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. Dennis Neal joins us right now on Alan's All-Stars. Hi, Dennis. Good to have you along.
Thanks so much, Karen. And by the way, that Karen Cataline, that is a great byline. That is a great name.
Well, thank you. I came by it honestly. Thanks for mentioning that. And yours is Neal, but with a K, with a silent K. So for our audience, it's K-N-E-A-L-E. Tell me about what's bugging me before we talk about what ought to be bugging all New Yorkers right about now.
Yeah. Well, episode 155 of my weekly podcast comes out this Thursday. I'm really proud of the work we've put together there. I've done some of the best journalism work of my entire career, and yet only a small and highly influential audience hears it. You know, that podcast landscape out there, Karen, is so vast. There's 5 million podcasts. If you can manage to get 10,000 downloads of an episode, you are in the 95th percentile. You're in the top 5% performers. So it's rough out there, and yes, it gives me a voice that I am eager to have.
Yes, and not only that, but regardless, 5,000 podcasts is certainly flies in the face of the left, which has illustrated its being a fan of the shutdown of freedom of speech. 5,000 podcasts. It's pretty much the opposite of that.
Five million.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. 5 million.
Well, you know what? You're in such a rich neighborhood for the story, because look at how, Obama, Elizabeth Warren, AOC, Senator Kerry, Robert Reich, the former Obama labor secretary. Look how many Democrat officials have literally spoke out against the First Amendment as being a problem. Spoke out against, and they sound unfortunately, our friends in the UK who turned so anti-free speech, and they're imprisoning people for simple things they say online.
Horrifying.
And against,
or
that
even
grain,
reposting. God forbid you should repost something, whether you agree or disagree. That's outrageous.
Yeah, they've even threatened us here in the U.S. that if you post something that is illegal in the UK, we will come after you. And I say, bring it on. But the big change there, Karen, is the rise of the X platform, the former Twitter, which all of the media said Elon Musk has killed Twitter. He's destroying Twitter. And today it is the most influential, most important, most vital media platform in the world. Entire new foreign policy initiatives, entire new efforts in government and business, et cetera, get announced there first. The New York Times used to be the paper of record. Now the New York Times is quoting things said on X.
Well, and I will never stop being grateful to Elon Musk for what he did for Twitter and freedom of speech. I'm not crazy about his constantly wading into politics in ways that I find somewhat counterproductive. But he has spoken out. He's really clear on the freedom of speech. I was just in New York City a couple weeks ago. I was stunned by the way it already feels hollowed out from the way it did earlier when I lived there. Part of that was that 30% of small businesses died after the pandemic. And now we've got a Muslim, Marxist, Jew-hating mayor-elect in Zohran Mamdani. You mentioned that Portland is a socialist disaster city. Does anybody think that Mamdani is going to take that as a wake-up call? I don't, but
I really don't. You know, while New York just elected this socialist mayor who takes office January 1, the voters in Portland, Oregon, last November, Bert basically said, hold my beer. And they elected a new city council with four members of that very group that backed Mamdani, the Democrat Socialists of America. Out of a 12-member council, they've got two liberal allies, and they basically now control the city agenda, which is anti-cop, anti-business, anti-capitalism, pro-tax increase. It's just so bad for Portland. And that is the topic of my next book that I'm working on now. I was just there for a week. And, you know, Karen, my gosh, you know, downtown, the vacancy rate is over 33%. You know, they had the big pink is the 42-story gorgeous pink building that is the landmark of the downtown. It sold for $370 million, you know, in 2015. It just sold for less than $50 million because it's vacant and left for dead. You know, homeless everywhere. You know, Portland's homeless rate is four times that of the entire nation. And it's as high as, you know, big cities like Los Angeles and San Francisco. And one reason is because they spend more than $700 million a year in tiny Portland, population only 650,000 or so inside city limits. They spend $700 million a year on about 7,000 homeless people. And hand them tents and tarps, the county does. Hey, we don't have shelters for you, but go ahead and set up and live almost anywhere you want. And they do so in front of a museum, at the entrance to businesses, you know, on underpasses on the highway, just about anywhere they want on the sidewalk. And then the city comes along and sweeps up all that garbage and throws away the tents and tarps. And then the county issues new tents and tarps to the very same.
So typical of government. We have begun to see what a slush fund the whole homeless industry really is. In Denver, Colorado, the current senator, junior senator of Colorado, when he was governor, John Hickenlooper, what a waste of a person, said he was going to end homelessness in 10 years. All he did was spend more money than ever before, and there's more homeless in Colorado than ever before. And nobody ever holds these people accountable for anything they say and all the money that they divert to their buddies to remain in power. Isn't that part of what's going on with the NGOs and all that?
You are so dead on target. It is the homeless industrial complex. Kevin Dahlgren calls it. Now, Kevin Dahlgren is a guy I interviewed in Portland a couple weeks ago. He is on X with videos several a day, you know, documenting the homelessness problem in Portland and elsewhere. You know, there's a huge homeless problem in the rural city of Bend, you know, 5 hours from Portland.
How about everywhere
in the state. And the county and city raise all this money, but then they don't do the work themselves. They hand the money to NGOs that then benefit and that then exist basically to continue to perpetuate their own existence. You can't
solve
the problem
back,
you put yourself out of business.
And to kick back money to the politicians. We were just getting started. Dennis Neal, where do they find you and your book, The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk?
That's on Amazon. Please buy it as a Christmas present because it has 11 lessons of life borrowed from Elon for a better career in life. And then check out on X, Dennis Neal. And thanks so much, Karen.
Very much. It's a pleasure having you on. Can't wait to have you on again. We will be back on the Alan Nathan All-Stars right after this on the Main Street Radio Network. Don't go away.
Hilton has once again been ranked number one on the world's best workplace list, according to Great Place to Work and Fortune. The hospitality leader has now topped the list twice in 3 years. At Hilton, its team members say the hospitality industry is where they can learn, grow, and achieve their career goals. Victoria, a sales director at a Homewood Suites property, explains.
Hospitality is the warmest industry that you can go into. The care, the nurturing, and the areas of opportunity are large. There are so many different elements in hospitality, and I don't think everyone thinks about the larger picture that they could fit into. Hilton has always been just a welcoming, open-armed, flexible place to work. I'm going to look forward in enjoying more stable work days and the ability to just have that work-life balance that I truly want.
To learn more about what makes Hilton a great place to work, visit stories.hilton.com/worldsbestworkplace.
Everyone wants to give the perfect gift this holiday season, and the choice is easy.
Gift cards have been the most requested gift for nearly 20 years, and experts recommend knowing how to gift smart to maximize gift card joy. A 30-second safety check can spot potential problems quickly before you give the card to someone. Look at gift card packaging to make sure colors, logos, and text match others on the shelf. Feel the back for bumps or extra layers that are thicker than other cards. Check the pin covering to make sure it's smooth and fully intact. Examine edges for cuts or tears that can signal a card has been tampered with. If something doesn't look right, choose a different card from the display and give the suspicious card to a customer service or checkout clerk. Gift cards are designed for joy, and taking the few extra seconds to gift smart can make a huge difference in keeping holiday spirits bright. Learn more at giftcardsafety.org. That's giftcardsafety.org.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Back to Alan Nathan's All-Stars. I'm Karen Cataline. What a pleasure it is to be among Alan Nathan's All-Stars. We are welcoming this hour wonderful Hillsdale College historian, who is an award-winning and best-selling author, with his latest book co-authored with Rabbi Dr. Stuart Halpern, Being Jewish Roots of American Liberty, The Impact of Hebraic Ideas on the American Story. Wilfred McClay joins us right now on Alan Nathan's All-Stars. Hi, Wilfred.
No, actually, my friends call me Bill, so you can do
Bill.
That, too.
Great.
Yes.
I don't mind telling you that this is an extra special topic close to my heart. I just discovered tikva.org, which is, I talked to them about you. I told them I was going to interview you and how excited I am to do just that. As a Jewish conservative, even conservatives, let alone self-hating liberal Jews and non-Jews alike, have no real understanding of the Jewish roots of American liberty. So wonderful that you wrote a book about that. What is among the most surprising things that people simply don't know or understand about that topic?
Well, gosh, where do I begin? I think that the whole way in which the story of the Exodus, which is, as you know, a central story to Jewish identity. You know, in Exodus, when the Passover is being discussed, you know, that the instruction is given, you know, you shall tell your children about this, that it, what the Lord did for me, that's the language, and this is why the Passover Seder it continues for millennia to be such a central part of Jewish identity, because the story of the Exodus is told. Well, it just so happens that the Exodus has been an underlying theme of all American history, going back to the Puritans, who saw themselves as, in a sense, Zionists. They were seeking a new Zion in America, in a new promised land, and they interpreted their travails and everything they encountered in their journey and the establishment of their settlement through the lens of Scripture, so that they were constantly looking at analogs between the Israelites and themselves. But one other thing, let me tell you, while I'm on the Exodus, one other thing that I think is just wonderful, and if you have a copy of the book, the cover of the book depicts this. When it came time to, after the American Revolution was successfully concluded and we had to choose a seal, the Great Seal of the United States, that we would use to certify official documents. Every country has them. Well, Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin both wanted an image of the Exodus to be the sort of guiding image of that seal. And Franklin wrote a description of it out, that it would be Moses standing with his arms over the waters, and Pharaoh and his army on the other side getting drenched by the Red Sea waters coming back.
The parting of the Red Sea.
That's right. And then there was to be a motto rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God.
Great.
Well, and you know, Jefferson, we all know that Jefferson wasn't a particularly religious guy. although he didn't go out of his way to offend people with it. He kept it to himself to a large extent. But he adopted that as the motto on his own personal seal. Mm-hmm. And he wanted also the Exodus to be represented in the seal. He thought that in his own somewhat deistic way, he thought that there was a line of continuity from the Israelites' liberation from slavery in Egypt and ushering into the light of the promised land to the present era, that American Revolution was about dispelling the principle that some men were born to lord over other men. He has this in several, a very vivid one. He says it's there aren't people born with saddles on their backs and others to ride them with spurs, but that all men are created equal, the language of the Declaration of Independence. So he saw the Exodus as laying the groundwork for that, for what the American Revolution was about, and for the spread of light, of enlightenment to all the world. So he wasn't doing this just to satisfy the religious folk. He did it out of a firm conviction. Alas, we didn't get that seal. I like the seal we have a lot. It was the eagle on the flip side, I don't like quite as much the pyramid with the eye of Providence above it. It's on the back of the dollar bill. All of this.
I'm looking at the at your book cover with the blue circle. Yeah. With the image of the Exodus, and I just want to say I know of nothing. I'm not all that observant, although the older I get, the more I study and the more I learn. I know of nothing that is a greater celebration of human freedom than the story of the Exodus and the way that it is told in Judaism, which someone once described for me, as we don't just tell the story to our children, we ingest the story.
Yes. Can I tell you something?
And we need that for America for the 4th of July. We need to ingest that story. We've been saying that for a long time.
I love that. And I'll tell you, I'm a Christian, and I was brought up as one, but in a sort of low church, you know, Presbyterian environment. I didn't know anything really about liturgy, about the ritual aspect of religion and how meaningful it can be. And then in college, I had she wasn't quite a girlfriend. I was hoping that she would be. She was a very good friend. Invited me to her house for Passover, and it was the most wonderful experience. I'd never done anything like it. And
what was so wonderful? What was the thing that stayed with you the most?
I think it was the fact that this was you could tell that this was that this family, which wasn't terribly observant. Certainly, I didn't even really know that this young lady was Jewish until she invited me to come to her house for a favor. I wasn't sure whether this was a sign that she wanted to get serious or what, but
taking you home to meet the folks.
That's when I got on famously with them. I loved the whole thing. No, I had never been part of something that was a ritual like that, where they made sure I understood what was going on. But that's part of the Seder, you know. It's explained. It is, and you know, I was stunned when I looked in Exodus and I saw the passage I just paraphrased a moment ago. That this is something that you are to make sure your children know this story, and
without a doubt,
this is a sign of the beneficence of God towards me.
You are not only to tell the story and experience the story and ingest the story, but you are to live it as if you are there, that you are being delivered from slavery, from bondage. And that, too, is something we have desperately needed. It's not just enough that we teach Jews and non-Jews alike about the Hebraic ideas of the American story, but that we teach Jews about the beauty of America and how Jews have flourished in this country because of the beauty of the United States of America and the Constitution. And that connection there is something I have never known a time in my lifetime where it's more important. I got to ask you, would you be so kind as to stay with us one more segment?
Oh, it would be my pleasure. I would beg for it. I'm loving talking
to you. That's so great. That's so great. This is one of my greatest passions. This topic, tikva.org, Wilfred McClay from Hillsdale College. We need Christians and Jews to stand together for freedom, for liberty, for faith in God, all those things, which are voluntary, by the way, not mandatory, as the tyrants like to make them. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll have more with Wilfred McClay. Can't wait. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on the Alan Nathan All-Stars.
Earlier this year, a photograph of a vibrant blue Volkswagen bus sitting relatively unscathed within a decimated Malibu neighborhood became a symbol of hope during the Palisades fire. The bus, a 1977 Type 2 named Azul by its owner Megan Weinraub, attracted the attention of Volkswagen, who offered to restore the vehicle to its pre-fire form. Now, at the Los Angeles Auto Show, Azul makes its first public appearance. Volkswagen's SVP of brand marketing, Rachel Zaluzik.
Azul caught the attention of people around the world, reflecting the resiliency of the people of California. We're proud to have Azul as part of the Volkswagen family.
Megan Weinraub.
When the photo went viral, I felt like the world experienced a piece of my heart. I was touched. Volkswagen reached out to help. And now Azul feels like a symbol of hope more than ever before.
Volkswagen also has pledged donations to the California Fire Foundation to support first responders and their families around the state. For more, visit VW.com.
Hi, this is registered dietitian Mia Sin. I have tips to stay healthy through the holiday season and into the winter months. Now, I love the idea of a wellness getaway, and Victoria, British Columbia is the perfect place to refresh and revive. You can set your intention for the new year this January in Victoria, British Columbia at tourismvictoria.com. Now, I'm a huge fan of superfoods, and Chilean salmon is a nutrient powerhouse. It's high in protein, omega-3 fats, and vitamin D, and a source of other nutrients that can support your immune health. Now, sorghum is another great food to incorporate. It's versatile, naturally gluten-free, and a natural source of antioxidants and a good source of protein. And finally, supercharge your wellness regimen with plant-based supplements. Rainbow Light's new liquid herbal tinctures feature sustainably harvested plant-based formulas crafted with care. Find them at the Vitamin Shop and vitaminshop.com. For more, visit nutritionbymia.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly, everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's H-E-L-P-P-V-A
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and proud to be one of Alan Nathan's all-stars. One of the great joys of doing this show is I get to interview and talk with such great brains, people who contribute mightily to the discussion, and that is certainly true of the guest we're talking with, Wilfred McClay, Hillsdale College. Love Hillsdale College historian, who's an award-winning best-selling author with his latest book, Jewish Roots of American Liberty, The Impact of Hebraic Ideas on the American Story. Thank you so much for staying with us, Bill. Thank you.
You can call me whatever. I'm happy to call be with me, you. You have a great passion for the right things.
Thank you. I have to ask you something that I have a passion against as well, something that has broken my heart, but we must talk about it. I'd love to get your thoughts. Right now, we are seeing something some people are calling the woke right. I didn't like the term at first, but I do understand it because people say the woke right, which basically is focused on the same old scapegoating of the Jewish people, is happening with conservatives, some of which I've known personally stood beside on conservative projects. And now, not unlike one of the most persuasive, Tucker Carlson has made a drastic turn in the direction of Holocaust denial, Jew hatred, Israel hatred, you name it. What are your thoughts about this? And by the way, I must say that your book could well be an antidote for what we are seeing. I hope and pray.
Well, I hope so. It doesn't doesn't address any of these things directly at all. Really, it's a sort of it's a celebration of this influence of how it enriched, and by implication, what could be less anti-Semitic, more anti-Semitic than that? But I'm baffled by Tucker Carlson myself, because I think he was a force for good, and certainly even some of the wackier things he's done, like interviewing Putin, I thought were sort of brought to the fore the idea that there's a lot of the story that reporters are just not bothering to cover. I mean, when you think about it, why wouldn't they try to interview Putin? So, but no, the stuff that you're talking about is just repulsive and unworthy of the person I thought that he was. I'll tell you something in particular, because I would call myself a Christian Zionist in the sense that I'm a Christian.
Which he just hates. He despises you for being a Christian Zionist, right?
Yeah. No, I think in a way, I think, look, I don't know what it would take to persuade him that he's wrong about this. But
he does have a mouthpiece.
He has a mouthpiece and he has an audience. And it's hard to know in this era how big that is. And I don't want to. Part of what I want to do is to say to Jewish Americans and those people of goodwill who are supportive of Jewish Americans that let's not exaggerate this too. This is not an anti-Semitic country. That people, yes, Tucker Carlson, his sidekick Fuentes, they can get an audience. But an audience isn't the same thing as people with settled views. And there may be a lot of bots in that audience, a lot of people, non-existent people. So all of that. But yes, something is going on. The demonstration in New York on the Upper East Side at the synagogue a couple weeks ago was just an appalling thing. And we're going to see more of that under the new mayor
of
New York.
No doubt.
So I don't know where it's coming from exactly, except that there is a pattern that when there's structural, stress, anxiety in a country, that somehow blaming the Jews is always
They scapegoat the Jews. To end on a positive note, and I'm so sorry that our segments are short, but that's how they are. We are being called, to coin a phrase, for Jews and Christians to stand together as never before. And not only must Jews stand up much more open, much less afraid, and not keeping their heads down, identifying and being clear about who they are as Jews, but recognizing the American, the beauty of America. And we must stand against the genocides against Christians. There's so many opportunities for us to stand together with moral clarity, and it's never been more necessary than now. What say you? What are your final thoughts there?
I couldn't agree more. I think that, and there's so much that, I mean, what's interesting is in the fullness of time, our God, who certainly has a sense of humor, has brought us to see that that Jews and Christians have much more in common and deeper things in common than most of our differences.
We need to respect those differences, though, and I wish both sides would.
That would be nice. That's important. Christian Zionist it isn't a subterfuge for proselytizing for Christianity. It's a recognition that God has a covenant with the Jewish people that's unbreakable. That there's nothing in the Bible to say that that covenant ever was broken. But can I just say in conclusion a couple of things?
Thank you. Yes, please.
That we share. And these are very fundamental things. We believe that the world was created by a being more powerful than nature, that created nature, that God spoke the entire universe into being, and that we are created, we human beings are created in the image of God. And that's the source of the idea in the Declaration that Jefferson put so well, that all men are created equal. It's a self-evident truth. Well, it isn't self-evident, actually.
It's not so self-evident. Oh, no, there's music. Go get Wilfred McClay and Rabbi Dr. Stuart Halpern's book, Jewish Roots of American Liberty. Give it to those woke rightsters and leftsters. The impact of Hebraic ideas on the American story. Both sides need to know so we can move forward. I cannot wait to talk to you again. I hope you'll be available. Wilfred McClay, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Well, we have to take a break. We'll be right back with another hour after this.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.